I'm talking today with Suzanne Flory, former firefighter who now works for the Eastern Regional Office of the U.S. Forest Service. As part of her job, Suzanne is often called to the scene of wildfires in other parts of the country, where she helps coordinate media relations. Just a few weeks ago, she was on the scene of the tragic Yarnell fire in Arizona. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie.
Give us a little background about what you usually do when you're called up to a wildfire. What's your role in the forest fighting operation?
I'm called a fire information officer, so I serve in the capacity of going out and helping whatever incident management team is on the incident. And it can be not just wildfires, but we also respond to hurricanes and those kinds of natural disasters. So when I go in as an information officer, I help make sure people are getting timely, accurate information in all kinds of forms via community meetings, face-to-face, social media, phone calls, you name it.
Out at the Yarnell fire, describe what the physical conditions were like at the fire camp. How many people were out there? Where were you staying?
Well, when we came in with the incident management team, we got there the day after the fatalities, and we were lucky to have a school to use. So we used a local elementary school. That's not always the case. Sometimes we're just in tents with tables, and it's pretty amazing how we bring in all the things we need to run essentially a small city. And at one point, there were 700 people there to support the fire, including firefighters, helicopters, the overhead, and then you have catering to feed the firefighters and a shower trailer, and everybody's sleeping in tents. It looks kind of funny because it was all around the playground and on the basketball court, and right beyond where we were, the fire had burned right down to that point, so every day you were looking at actually where the fire was. Pretty surreal, especially knowing what had happened with the fatalities there.
So when you arrived there, what were you feeling when you got there, and what was the feeling among the community?
It's really hard to put words to it. I drove through Prescott, and I was there so quick after the fatalities happened, and flags were half-staff, and people were walking with their heads down. And then when I got to the incident command post, Yarnell was still all evacuated, so there weren't any residents or anything. It was all, almost looks like a ghost town, but you have lots of law enforcement with the roadblocks. When I got to the incident command post, it was just a flurry of action, but usually in a setting like that, there's a lot of camaraderie, and it's a small world in wildland firefighting, so you get lots of, oh, it's so good to see you, and you know, a lot of cheerfulness. Well, there was a lot of, it's so good to see you, but without the cheerfulness. Everybody was pretty down, but very busy. The goal of the team was to get that fire out, and then to also help get those folks back home in Yarnell. And then also showing the respect to the firefighters by trying to manage that end of the incident.
It must have been tough for people who were mourning the loss of some of their community, but also still had a big job to do by putting out this huge fire.
I have total respect and admiration for the folks that did that.
You mentioned that the community, the wildland firefighting community, is pretty small. What impact did it have on the community, the death of this entire crew?
I'm not sure people fully realize that the wildland firefighting community and firefighters as a whole really are a different breed of people. It really gets in your blood. And it's a small, tight group when you look at the big picture. And it had a profound impact, and it will for a long time. And we've had other incidents and fatalities, but this one was so dramatic with losing almost a whole crew at one time. I think all of us just hope that we can learn from this and find the lessons there and know that this will never happen again.
You were one of the media relations people at what suddenly became a very high-profile event. What were some of the challenges, or what was unique about this particular experience?
Well, luckily for me, I had worked with a lot of the same media folks when I was on the largest fire in Arizona history a few years ago. But it was a huge story, of course, and there was a lot of interest, of course. But anytime you mix social media and rumors and people trying to get a story into the mix, it's a difficult situation. But then when you add the fatalities and how fragile that situation was, and wanting to respect the families of the men that were lost, and being very cautious and careful and making sure the information that we provided was accurate and timely. It was like a normal incident times 5 million as far as people wanting to get a story out of it.
You've been called up to many fires throughout the years on the job. Was this one of the most intense?
This was the most intense, and for everybody on the team, we haven't had anything like this happen before, and none of us had anything to go by. So it was a new situation, and one that all throughout the time we were together, we were saying we hope to never experience again. It was a different feel at this fire camp because everybody was just so sad, and rightly so. I mean, there was just all we could do was really focus on getting the job done and getting the fire out. And as far as my part went, getting that information out as quickly as we could to help people know what was going on.
Suzanne Flory from the Regional Office of the U.S. Forest Service, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Natalie.